I'm Kenny McCarthy, and he's Joey Shimotaro. Welcome to the Gloucestercast. The Gloucestercast, episode 11, on January 23rd, 2012. And I'm Kenny McCarthy of CapeAnnInfo.com.
And I'm Joey Shimotaro from Good Morning Gloucester. It's good to be back, Kenny.
Sure is. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been almost, I don't even know how many months it's been since the last time we podcasted. It's one of my favorite things to do. So I guess it's time to catch up. What have you been up to?
February or March, I think, was the last time we did this. We must have done 10 episodes, and I think we did it about once a week. So, when did the lobsters come back to work? That's the last time we did this.
Yeah, I think that was May.
Yeah, May? Really? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. What's new? I just got back from Florida. I was down there for a couple of weeks. I drove down for Christmas with my dog. That was an adventure. I hate leaving her at home, and I had left her for a month in October with my sister, and she came back with all kinds of bad habits. So I figured I'd throw her in the car and drive down. That was fun. My best buddy lives in Winter Haven, and I go down a couple times a year. But this time we got in the Volvo and went down 95. It took us 2 days, and it's expensive to drive to Florida, a lot more than flying. I had no
idea. Did you figure it out exactly how much it cost you in gas and toll?
No, I can almost do it in my head, but it was like $180 in gas to get there, $170, $180. I think it was three full tanks, and a full tank was around $55, something like that. So
the reason you drove was because you wanted to have your car down there. And when you weighed out all the options of bringing the dog and everything else, it made more sense for you to drive rather than fly?
I just wanted to have the dog. I didn't really care about the car. But yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Are you starting in on me already about dogs?
No, I'm just trying to figure out your mental, where you were going. Like, what was the mental process that got you to drive rather than fly?
I wanted to take the dog. I didn't. My buddy's got two dogs, and I just felt guilty about leaving the dog home alone again. Because I went to Nepal in October, and I left the dog at home at my sister's. I took her to my sister's for the month, and my sister's got a dog. So, but there's that dog guilt. We have dogs. You don't have a dog, do you?
I'm not a big dog person. I think you know this. I'm a cat guy. How often do you have to stop to let the dog take a crap and stuff?
I didn't. I just put him in the back and, I lined it with newspaper. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Every 3 hours, the dog stays at home, while I'm at work for 6-8 hours during the day. So, she's fine.
They hold it when they're home. They don't have a little spot in the house where they can pee and then you have to clean up after it.
You mean like a litter box, like a cat litter box? No, Joe.
Oh, the dogs hold it all day long while you're gone at work?
They hold it all day. Yeah. Well, one of the, you kind of be careful. I don't give her too much water. She has her breakfast, and I give her a couple of cups of water, and what she drinks, and then I pick the water up. And dogs, they're smart. They won't drink the water if they know you're going to be out, because they know they're going to have to hold it. And, they don't like holding it any more than we do.
This is one of the main reasons why I don't have a dog is because the whole maintenance and the guilt factor. Like if you want to go away on trip, you've got to leave the dog someplace you can't, it's not like a cat where you can just, you can leave. The cat is pretty much self-sufficient almost. But the
dog, what do you do with your cat when you just get back from Mexico? What were you down there? 10 days?
No, seven days.
Okay. Yeah. So what did you do with your cat?
My cat was dead. My cat got eaten by a fisher cat. So we no longer have a cat, but the cat when it was alive.
I remember JJ Jingle Nuts. Yeah.
He's a good cat.
He didn't get another
one. He went out on his own terms though.
That's a great.
He was a house cat, but he wanted to be outside all the time.
Yeah.
And he was always scratching at the door trying to get outside. And So, you know, he wasn't happy in the house. He wanted to get outside and chase the birds and kill the birds and kill the mice and leave the little trophies, you know, at the doorstep and strut around with his chest puffed up. But an animal higher up on the food chain got a hold of him, the fisher cat. But, you know, he went the way he wanted. He wasn't stuck in the house. He was getting after it, you know.
Yep. I'm sorry. That's hard. Well, you got to get another one.
What?
You got to get another one.
My wife has been, you know, she's been telling my two young daughters to, you know, giving me the daddy routine with the big eyes. Can we get another cat? But my wife doesn't realize she must have a short term memory, because when we had the cat, she was always screaming at the cat because like I told you, he's always scratching at the door to get outside. And as soon as he's outside, then he's scratching to get back inside. You know, it was maintenance, you know, but she don't remember the maintenance, and she wants to get another cat, and you know, and that litter box and the stink and everything. You know, I just, why do I gotta have a cat, you know? Not my thing.
So what did you do with JJ? Well, like last year before JJ went on.
When he was alive, he would stay at my, he'd stay at my brother-in-law's, you know, but you can literally, a cat, they have these like water bottles. They go upside down with a little nipple, and the litter box, they can seriously stay for like a week on their own, not unlike a dog.
Yeah,
and that's why cats are superior to dogs.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I couldn't leave the dog alone like that. I don't even think I'd leave a cat alone like that. But hey. I caught the dig too, by the way. It's a period of talks. I don't think that, because you trade a lot. You trade, you know, the cats don't follow you around. The cats aren't. When I come home, I've had cats, and when I come home in the afternoon from work, all I can hear is my dog's tail thumping up against the wall, waiting for me to open the door, and then she's all over me like, you know, like I just came home from the Crusades, for crying out loud. I've never had a cat greet me at the door like that.
Yeah, but you see that like it's a good thing. Like, I don't like it when a dog's all up in my grill. That's not my thing. You know, like when a dog comes up and he's like, and he's got his dirty paws all over me, and that is not my thing. But I understand, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad. I'm loving this time of year, though. I tell you, we work hard for 8 months of the year. It's 7 days a week, getting up at 3:45. But this time of year, it's so much more laid back down the dock. We can do these kind of fun things and start up all the initiatives for Good Morning Gloucester that, you know, I don't have the time to do. And got a lot of fun stuff coming up. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah. While I'm thinking of it, because we don't have it in our notes here, I was on the blog this morning. And I was looking at that American Style magazine posting you had up there.
Yep.
And I tried to use the links to vote, and they couldn't get them to work. Did you already realize that? Or I think that's great.
No, but I'll go back and check that out, though.
Yeah.
But, the American Style magazine.
I think it was from Saturday's post. It was either yesterday or Saturday's blog post. So, you had some links in there back to the Serving Monkey. And I actually went to the American Style website and tried to link. Their link doesn't even work. The icon that they have on their front page doesn't even work. So anyway, I just didn't want to say goodbye to tell you that, because that's important that we do that. I was going to put – it was a great suggestion you made in the post to put the link to the voting in my email signature.
Yeah.
So that's what
wasn't my suggestion. I can't take I can't take credit for that. That was like a press release from Sea Arts. Claire Higgins, I think, did the press release for Sea Arts.
Yep.
I'm a good copy and paster. I mean, I just added my little flair to the beginning and end of that post. But American Style magazine, for people that don't know, Gloucester got voted the number 3 small city art destination in the country last year. It's a big thing. It's a big honor, and it's a big it's a big thing for marketing wise for artisans around here that you can say, hey, this
sure
is a great place for art. So come, you know, so to get to for people to get the vote out and get us recognized again, it's an important thing. So there you go.
Yeah. Yep. It sure is. So what else is going on?
Well, some of the initiatives. We got bikini and speedo dodgeball coming up in another couple months, and I am so crazy psyched about this.
March.
Last year we planned it. Ryan Cox is one of the three partners at the Farm Bar and Grill in Essex.
Yeah.
And planned it last year, and it was 4 days from inception to the actual event, and we had five teams. And it was unbelievable. It was so much fun.
Wow.
And
wow.
We raised, I think, $500 for cancer research last year. This year, we're planning, like, you know, three or four months ahead of time, and we have a bunch of teams already signed up. There's the Farm Bar and Grill is going to have a couple teams. Good Morning Gloucester is going to have a team with my buddy Kurt Lubbers. He's a Coast Guard guy, and some of the Coast Guard people are going to be on my squad. Ryan and Wood Distillery, they have a squad.
Yep.
George's Coffee Shop has a squad. Cape Ann CrossFit has a squad. Sugar Mags, Mitch Sala has a team. The Beverly Athletic Club. So we have some good competition already, and I think we're probably gonna have like between 16 and 20 teams.
Is there a vegetarian bikini speedo dodgeball team?
What does the vegetarian have to do with the sport? How are we gonna wedge that in there?
I don't know. I just thought I'd try and wedge it in there.
Because
it's the Farm Bar and Grill, so I imagine that there's, you know, they serve all kinds of grilled flesh and things like that there.
Oh,
I was just wondering if
they're the host. They have this perfect setup because it's, you know, the front part of the building is, you know, the bar and the restaurant part, but they have this huge back space where they have a volleyball net behind the place and a patio.
Really?
And so we take the volleyball nets down. We have in the winter we have the dodgeball court, and each team puts in $100.
And the
participants get to drink, get their beverages for free. And each person gets a free T-shirt with the awesome logo on it and everything, and all the profits go to this really good organization called Next Step, which is this organization. You know, a lot of people that give money towards cancer, it's like, you know, they go to pediatrics, so they give it to finding a cure for cancer. But Next Step is special because they pick up where, like, you know, after you turn 18, a lot of these benefits for these you know, afflicted children, young teens and adults get turned off. But Next Step is an organization that our friend Aria McElhenney is a part of. And I just thought, I think that would be a good beneficiary. So
nice.
They're
very
the beneficiary.
Nice.
And I think we're probably going to raise a lot of money for them and have a good time at the same time. So
sure,
it's a no-brainer.
Good. So, and it's cold out when you're doing this.
It is.
Right?
It's cold, but it's so fun. Right. They're gonna have. We have a heat tent and the heat lamps for the where a whole VIP section for where the participants are going to be this year. We're taking it to a whole new level.
I can understand that. I can hear that. It sounds like a whole new level of a whole new level of insanity, and a nice way to raise some money.
You know, that's the whole thing, like. You know, people say, what's the whole initiative behind Good Morning Gloucester and stuff? It's to have fun.
Insanity?
You know,
we try to
push initiatives where there's a win for everybody. Because, you know, if you go to see this thing, it's a win, right? Because it's something, a spectacle. If you participate
in it, spectacle is
drink.
Exactly the word that comes to my mind.
What?
Spectacle.
It is. It's a spectacle. You know, guys in speedos, girls in bikinis in the middle of winter with snow playing dodgeball. I mean, it's crazy, right?
Oh, like, do you do it during the day or the afternoon?
It's during the day. It's an all-day event. People come and go, but mostly people come. Once you see it, it's like you can't – it's like a train wreck. You can't turn away.
Right. It's like a train wreck.
fun. I'm telling you. Right. I mean, so this it's great though. But everybody has fun, and we raise money for a good cause. I mean, how do you beat that?
Nice. Good.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What's going on with you? Any good initiatives for you?
Initiatives. Well, you're just such a. You're so much more of a for the community guy than I am. I don't have all these initiatives going on. I don't have all these things that I sponsor or, I'm self-centered to the extreme. So it's hard for me to compete with you when it comes to this stuff. I just have my little trips and I got my dog and my little business and.
You got your real estate gig going on.
Yeah, I got my real estate gig going on. Speaking of initiatives, something we talked about last year doing, and we never got around to doing it. And I gotta work on this because this year or next year, I would really like to do this. But I've spent a lot of time in the last year working on my marketing and learning about marketing and what makes people tick and what people pay attention to and, you know, all different types of marketing. And I'm not an expert, but I've gotten a real education over the last year. And I would love to share some of this stuff because I've definitely seen the results of it in my business. And I'd love to share it with other, you know, business owners like us because, you know, you're self-employed. We're all in business and we all have to do some kind of marketing. And there's some, you know, real basic, precepts to it, and I've been in business for myself for almost 20 years, and I missed a lot of them because what happened when I went into business was I had an entrepreneurial seizure. I woke up one day and said I can do this a lot better than the guy I'm working for, and went out on my own and I knew how to sell real estate, but I didn't know anything about running a business or marketing to people and I'm just, you know, really starting to pick that up now. So I'd love to, do you think there'd be an interest? Do you think people would?
I think you need to define it more like, when you say marketing in a broad sense, do you talk about internet marketing? What are you talking about?
All kinds of marketing. For example, one of the things that I've been doing in the last year is I've put a CRM into play, and it's really helped me keep track of people and keep in touch with people. A CRM.
Why don't you explain what CRM means? Because I don't know what that is.
It's a client relationship manager. It's a database.
Okay.
It's a database, and it allows me to keep notes when I talk to people, like about their kids and what they're doing and what they're thinking about. And it allows me to send them emails. It allows me to write them letters. It's like a control panel, for my database. Yeah. It's real interesting. And,
that'd be really good for someone like me that has the worst memory of all times. And I can't remember people's names, never mind, and like you said, being self-centered or whatever. I don't remember hardly anything, and that'd be a really interesting tool to learn about.
Yeah, that's been huge for me this year is my CRM, and then there's some other stuff that's been working really well too. I've been combining postcard mailings with websites, so taking some of the old or so-called dead marketing practices like postcards. A lot of people say, oh, nobody responds to postcards anymore. Well, that's bullshit. People, if it's targeted and you're sending it to the right audience and you're specific and you got a good copywriter that wrote the correct message, I mean, I'm getting lots of responses to postcards. So,
do you use Constant Contact or any of those kind of, do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
I do know what you're talking about, yeah. And those aren't ones that I use, no, but there are other ones out there that I use. There's one called Get Response that I use. I've started a pay-per-click program on Google that has been very successful, and it's just looking for people that want to move to Gloucester or Rockport. It's keyed in on only Gloucester and Rockport. And I've got 270 or 280 people since July have contacted me about moving to Gloucester or Rockport via the pay-per-click program on Google. And it's,
I don't know if you want to talk about that. All your competition is going to learn about that. You're going to be in trouble.
You know what? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. There's plenty of it out there for everybody. There's plenty of it out there, and I'm happy to share it. So it doesn't bother me one bit to talk about it. But
yeah,
it's good for the area. It's good for us. It's good for business. It's professional too. So anyways, so that's kind of got me excited. I love working on my business.
There's your passion right there.
Yeah. As opposed to working on it, in it. You know, I love leveraging my time and leveraging my efforts so that I'm more efficient, so I can spend time, so I don't have to spend as much time doing the day to day.
Can I ask you a few real estate questions? I just have a couple. Ones that pretty general, but you can give us some listenership idea where the market's at. Here's the first question: where would you say the real estate market, local real estate market, is in the cycle between way overvalued, fairly priced, and way undervalued? Where would you say we are in that cycle?
I would say that we are not undervalued, but that we are right in the middle. We're right where we're supposed to be. And it might sound like I'm trying to avoid the question. You kind of have to look at what is the value at any given time. The value at any given time is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And the only time we get to say if the market is overvalued or undervalued or right in the middle is in retrospect, when we're looking back at it. So we can look back at 2006 and say, wow, the market was way overvalued. Well, you know what? At the time, in 2006...
It was fairly priced. Right, I see what
you're saying. Yeah, it was fairly priced. Nobody ever walks up and buys something and says, you know what? I really want to give you more than that's worth.
I see what you're saying. But you understand the point that I'm saying. I get that.
I understand.
I'm talking about, do you think that there are bargains, what you would consider bargains today?
I do, as a matter of fact. There are some very kind of dated types of property that are out there on the North Shore right now that people are having a hard time selling. And they are, they still work, but you just have to – one of the niches is the condominium that has two or three levels to it. There were a bunch of condominiums built in the late 70s and early 80s and through the mid 80s. And, they kind of had that on the ground level. There was a garage and a laundry room. And then you walked up a flight of stairs and you were in the living area, the living room, the kitchen, the dining room. And then you walked up another flight of stairs and you were in the bedrooms. So in effect, you were sleeping on the third floor. And a lot of those condominiums are, they're decent size. They're 1,800, 2,000 square feet. Some of them have views, like nice vistas. And they aren't selling because the people that are buying those now are 50, 60 years old, and they don't want the stairs.
Oh,
I don't want the stairs. So
I lived in two of those type of units,
yep.
And if I didn't have children, I'd be living in one again because
sure.
I loved condominium living. I loved it.
Well, if you're in the right complex and you do the right diligence before you buy, it can really work out well for people. So because you're all sharing. You're in business. When you own a condominium, you're in business with a bunch of other people, and that's the plus.
I could pull into my unit, hit the garage door clicker, not even have to get out of my car, pull into the garage, press the button again, close it behind me, go up the stairs, and I'm into my unit. Never have to get my foot wet,
right.
in and then the outside was always maintained.
Right.
The landscaping was already maintained. I mean, the bills that I have as a homeowner compared to what I had as a, you know, paying condo fees, it was like everybody talks about condo fees like it's some kind of burden. This is like liberating thing I ever did in my entire life was when I lived in a condominium and had a good, you know, condo association. And that's you have to have a good condo association and know that you're going in before you buy.
Right, exactly. And any homeowner that says to themselves, I'd much rather, you know, I would hate to pay condo fees. You're already paying the fees, and you know that. All you got to do is add up a year's worth of maintenance fees for your house and divide it by 12, and that's your condo fee.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what you would have. That's what you're spending every month to maintain your you know, your single family way of living. So, but anyways, so that's an answer to your question. I think we're fairly priced. I've also the numbers in Gloucester and Rockport. 2011 compared to 2010 have severely leveled out. There's no spikes. There's no. I mean, we're gaining value. Rockport's prices have gone up substantially, but they had fallen so far. You know, people are we're kind of back to normal.
How about inventory? How about inventory numbers?
The inventory is about the same. It hasn't changed much. It has pockets of different properties, different property types that are a little more than others. But there's, you know, there's plenty out there to buy, and things have been selling. Things have been, you know, things are going under agreement. There's no real spikes in inventory. The Super Bowl in 2 weeks is kind of the official start to the spring market. I don't know what it is, but it's like flipping a switch. But I have noticed this year that more properties are coming on the market now than before the Super Bowl. We've had a bunch of stuff come on the market in the last couple of weeks since the first of the year. So, but we're so fortunate here. We're so fortunate on Cape Ann that we have the ocean.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I'll tell you what my personal view of real estate is. I think the best thing that anyone could buy right now is like a smallish, like 2,000 square feet or smaller home in East Gloucester, anywhere from like where St. Peter's Church towards, you know, obviously, you know, the whole side of East Gloucester.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much of it in Rocky Neck. And the beaches and the restaurants and everything. It's such a cool place. And all these, like, you see all these young, hip people that have been moving in there lately? Like,
if
you go down East Main Street, like between where Duckworth's Bistro is, again and again, sale bags. Then you have, that girl Karen that opened up that funky little shop. And then downstairs at Beacon Marine Basin, those guys. I mean, there's all this really good energy in the PTA in East Gloucester is unbelievable. They're always doing. They're really involved with the kids' education and stuff.
Yep.
I just think it's a no-brainer for like all the people that are discovering Gloucester because there's this whole renaissance in the last 10 years, and they want to move here, and you know they might be selling their 3,000 square foot home like in the middle of the state or upstate New York, and you know they want to come here. I don't know. I just think it's a no-brainer.
I had a woman last week contact me from Connecticut, and she asked specifically for East Gloucester because of the schools. You know, she'd heard she's got three kids in elementary school, and she, you know, just had heard that the East Gloucester elementary, the you know, the schooling and the neighborhood, and she, you know, she'd been up here before, but she, you know, specifically wanted information on East Gloucester. So, You're right.
Okay, I want to go back to Mexico. I don't like this weather at all.
I can't remember weather from one year to the next. Somebody the other day said, you know, I was bitching about the weather too, because I like the sun. But they were saying, oh, last year we had 80 feet of snow, and I don't remember.
Oh, it's true. You should remember because we talked about the big snow banks over by your house there.
The farm,
remember the big
snow farm?
Snow farm, yeah.
That's right too. Okay. I just don't remember weather from one year to the next. I don't know why. I have to look it up. But yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna put in a huge plug for the place that we went on vacation. In Mexico. Yeah. Because you know when you go away in January and if you want to be warm, you can't really count on Florida. You can't count on Bermuda. So you have to kind of go way down, Jamaica or Mexico or Aruba. I don't even know if Aruba's warm. Yeah, I think it is.
Aruba's warm, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But about 10 years ago, we went to Cancun. And Cancun's kind of a mess. You know, it's overbuilt and it's just a big mess. Yeah. And, you know, there's the people trying to hawk stuff on the streets and everything. But about an hour south of Cancun, Playa del Carmen, we went. And we stayed in this little boutique hotel. It was a little over $100 a night. The service was 5-star service. They remember your name. You get the same waiter for breakfast. The main street is called Fifth Avenue. There's probably like 200 restaurants, and ranging from very little money to high end fancy. But even a fancy dinner there, like two steaks and a couple drinks apiece, was like $50.
Right.
And the service was great. They were so thankful. They were hustling. And it was clean, and you felt safe. My wife, who is a big time vacation snob, she thought she would walk down the street. She would have walked down that fifth from the hotel down Fifth Avenue by herself at midnight. She felt so safe there.
That's nice. That's huge.
The beaches get that turquoise colored water and clear, crystal clear for like 50 feet. You don't see seaweed. You don't see rocks. It's warm. I don't go in the water at beaches unless it's like pristine and absolutely perfect. And this was that kind of beach. So, Playa del Carmen. And
nice.
The place that was called Hotel Tortuga, El Tortuga.
Which that's I guess where you stayed?
Yeah. I would highly, 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 highly recommend it.
Where did you find the trip? Was it a package, and where did you find it?
We found Playa del Carmen from a friend of the blog, Cynthia Hill. But we found hotel. My wife, we're big. TripAdvisor, I think, is an awesome resource. Because people, it's democratic. People write in and they rank things by people's how other people rank them. And we've had huge success going by there, these places that they rank as unbelievable value, or, you know, you can break down what the different criteria you like. And that's how we found it. And you read people's reviews, and, you know, the reviews generally don't lie. And if there's enough of them, you say, oh, well, there's something there. Let's do that. And sure enough, it was great.
I love Mexico. I've been there four or five times. Been to Cancun a couple of times, and I've never been south of Cancun, but I've also been over to the west coast of Mexico to a place called Zihuatanejo, which is near Iztapa. Iztapa is a big resort area. Zihuatanejo reminds me a lot of Gloucester. It's a little town, fishing village, and you fly to Iztapa, and then it's about a 15-minute ride from the airport, and the people are really friendly. There are no big hotel complexes. We found out from people in Gloucester, too, that had been down there for yoga, because there's a big yoga community there, and it was cheap. Same experience you had, just didn't sound even as built up as Playa del Carmen, maybe, but it was very safe. The food was great. And I get to practice my Spanish. I've been taking Spanish lessons for 3 years now, so it's fun. I'm going to the Dominican Republic with a buddy of mine in the first week of March.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I learn things about you every time. You're this Renaissance man. You're taking Spanish lessons, really?
Yeah, once a week.
What was the reason for that?
I like languages. I like to read, and I don't know. I like languages, and there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people around. And I like to travel to Spanish-speaking countries. I find that I go there often enough. And
are you going to come back with some Dominican bride? Is this what's going to happen?
No. No, not at all.
They have those tours, though. You can kind of pick the girl out, right, and say, "Hey, honey, how you doing?"
My friend Louisa Cleaves, who's an artist from, she lives in Lanesville. She has a shop in Rockport. Is from Buenos Aires, and she's been living here. She and her husband Sam live in Lanesville, and I were friends. And he mentioned to me, I didn't know Louisa well. I had met her once or twice, but he had been saying something about, I really want to learn how to speak Spanish. I like the language and I like the people. And he said, you know, my wife teaches, and it's just 3 years next month. So she says I'm fluent now. I should put on my website that I kind of fluente en español. I can make myself understood. I can understand, and I'm reading it pretty well and writing it pretty well. But we're still working on it. So that was one of my requirements for my one vacation this year. Was so to really speak Spanish, because I needed that. I needed the practice. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
What?
Are you there? Oh, I can't hear you, Kenny.
You can't hear me?
Oh, there you are. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I have a question for you. You have your website, right? Do people sometimes ask you questions and they seem like they'd be really easy to answer with a simple Google search, and you try to figure out, like, why? What do you think the percentage of people that don't understand how to search the internet is?
All the time. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Kind of fuzzy, a little bit fuzzy.
Okay. That's weird. All the time I have people ask that. And I just think they're not quite used to being able to they're just not quite used to the tool. I mean, you can get answers to anything in a search window on the internet. It blows my mind what I can type in. And for example, okay, talking about this trip to the Dominican Republic, I wanted to go. A couple of things I wanted to do on my vacation. I wanted to speak Spanish. I wanted to take some yoga. And I want to learn how to surf. So I typed in to Google yoga in the Caribbean. And it came up, the very first result brought up a website for a place in Costa Rica, where I'm going next year, that had surfing lessons, Spanish lessons, yoga lessons, all in this same place. It was so cool. But the guy, the friend I'm going from Maine, wasn't interested in the other stuff. He didn't want to go that far away. So we're going to go there. But I get answers for stuff in Google.
It baffles me that in this day and age that I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. And I'm trying to be patient, but it drives me crazy. Like, you know, the blog gets between 25 and 35,000 people a day, right? I get all these people sending me press releases. I'm really thankful for my readership. I really, really am, and everything. Right?
Yeah.
You know, so I get all these people that want me to put on press releases, and they send them in these messed up formats. I have to reformat it for them and everything else. I'm trying to do my job and do the blog and everything else. And then you get a question like someone sends me a press release. They know they have their name in their press release, right?
Right.
And then they say, oh, I couldn't find it. Did you post my thing? And I says, well, rather than take the time to email me to find out if I posted your thing, why didn't you just search? There's a search box. Why didn't you just type it in there? Like, it's going to take me it seems trivial, right? It seems trivial, does it not? But when you get 30 of these a day, could you see, I mean, can you see how that would, like, maybe get irritating? And then they, and then someone says, well, you should, you know, you're talking down to us or whatever. I'm like, just try to understand where I'm coming from when this, you know what I mean? It's like,
okay,
you sent me the press release. You know your name is in it. Do you really, you can't, is it that you can't make the connection? Is it that you're too lazy? Is it that you want me to do the work for you? Or is it, I don't believe that the people are lazy. This is what I believe, because it's easy to take the cynical view that they're lazy. I don't think enough people make the connection of just actual of using a search box.
They don't know that
it's always on. If whatever browser you have, like that little box up at the top, you can type in like, you know, your search in questions, and you can even if there's not a search box on a particular website that you're on, you can search the internet as a whole and generally find your questions. So it's just, oh man, I
agree. People just don't understand how to use it, and I don't think it's they're lazy or either. I just think it's because they don't get it, that they search it really easily. You know what you might do is set an autoresponder for the emails. If you're getting 30 of those a day, you might set up an autoresponder that recognizes certain words. There must be words that are typical of these emails, like "can you search" or something like that. If you set up an autoresponder that said, and responded automatically every email that came in that said "can you search for," and then explain to them how to run the search, you wouldn't have to deal with emails anymore.
I don't mind a legitimate question. I mean, I'd like to help people, honestly. I just, when it's something that's so simple. And
Joey, it sounds like you're doing a lot of complaining right now.
Well, this lady, I'm going to just explain. I want to read to you what this lady wrote to me, because she was was not very happy with me. So Grammy Kathy, she writes to me, "Joey, I'm a huge fan of your blog, and I'm always telling my friends about it. However, the tone of your posting, because I wrote about this, is a real turnoff. I certainly understand your point of view, but the way you have expressed it is not one that will find the results you want. Remember, your customers come in all shapes and sizes, and not everyone has your knowledge of searching. And I agree that maybe you need a vacation or more help with the blog. Good luck." And but I contend that, you know, explain, because what I did was I went through and I begged people to, please, before you ask a question like this, use the search engine. But I contend by writing that post and making it so emphatic that I please use the search engine, I believe that, like this woman, Grammy Kathy, maybe next time she will use the search engine. And if I can help people to use search engines, then the world is a better place. And I think that's a tool that most people, that if they don't know about it, should know about, right?
Sure, sure. They know about it now if they're listening to us. Whatever you do, email Joey to look for something.
Not for something simple. Not for something.
Yeah. All right. All right. That's your lesson in patience and tolerance.
Yeah. I'm trying to be a good guy. I'm trying.
I know. It's okay. Take a deep breath. It's okay.
There you go.
It's okay.
Well, Kenny,
what else are we gonna
talk about today? We're coming up close to an hour or so. I don't know, maybe a little bit under, but I think we did a lot there. I think that was a good podcast.
Okay. I barely broke a sweat, so when that happens, I mean, we could have pushed it a little further.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward. We'll save up some material for next time, and I'm looking forward to doing these more on a regular basis.
All right. What do you think? Week? Another week?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it in another week. Let's try for Monday mornings.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right, for Good Morning Gloucester, this is the Gloucester Cast, episode 11. For Good Morning Gloucester, this is Joey Schumatow signing out, and my partner,
Kenny McCarthy. Have a great day. Good talking to you, Joe.
Peace out.